Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, here we go on a Red Friday in Kansas City. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours till the whole city shuts down 24 hours from now. I can imagine Cody just racing to the grocery store at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
So I've never really been that person. I made a horrible mistake yesterday.
Oh, you went yesterday?
I did not think about the impending storm. As you know, I am not someone who is constantly weather aware, although in this case, you can't ignore the fact that they're threatening severe weather over the weekend. Didn't think about it. I had decided like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I decided we're becoming deep freezer people, right? Oh. I want the ability.
Did you buy a big deep freezer?
So I bought one of the tall chest ones with all the drawers because I want to be able to have it somewhat organized. Mm-hmm. And so like, I had finally decided, like, okay, I make enough stuff. I want to be able to have, like, stock and all this other stuff available. We're going to buy a freezer. So yesterday, it was back in stock at Costco. So I'm like, great.
Oh, well, Costco's a bad decision.
Borrow the truck.
In this time of
year. We'll borrow the father-in-law's truck, drive over to Costco, and the second I step foot in that store, I'm like, I have made a tremendous mistake. Every single employee there looked like that person on the Popeyes bench, dude. Just like, oh, God. I asked the guy who was checking us out, man, how's it going? He went, not great. Like, I mean, just straight up.
By the way, what a jerk. How's it going? What do you think, man? It's going great. We're swamped. We're getting our ass kicked.
I was just
the fact that he was that honest with you, you know it was a bad day.
Dude, I was just trying to make small talk. I was trying not to make this dude stay worse. I had not realized the mistake I had made until I had walked in that store. And I'm like, oh. This ain't great.
Yeah. So, look, everybody's well aware of what we're about to have. And who knows if it actually is as bad as everybody's saying it's going to be. But it seems like there's a real chance, depending on where in town you live and everything. So be safe out there this weekend, of course. And yeah, I'll even run to the grocery store a little bit. But I told you, I'm not like, I don't know.
What do you pick up? Some mozzie sticks? What do you get?
Yeah. I mean, like, look, obviously, I'm not picking up like bread and eggs. Everybody, the shelves are empty, like the world's going to end or whatever. But I'll have some stuff because I know Sunday I'm not going to be able to get anywhere. Like Sunday, just me watching football all day and not be able to move, and so gotta have something in place because it sounds like Sunday's gonna be a mess.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad. Someone's already offering to fill my entire freezer
with meat
for a spot in the Guillotine League next year. Wow. I mean, we could go back to taking bribes. It's really just a bribe for me. Can we all agree that we all get one bribe?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Drew and I have won the league and back to back. Drew won it last year.
It's crazy.
Congrats, by the way, to everybody that was in our Guillotine League. Thanks for taking part in that. But I did win. The owner of the team that was called, quote, Meat Beater, finished second behind me.
I did win.
Thank you very much.
The text line said, why didn't you pay to have it delivered? Great question. It was $100 additional to have it delivered.
Complaining how much a pain in the ass it was. Seems like it might have been worth it.
Well, to go to Costco was, but the actual, like, putting it in the truck, taking it out, unboxing it, and plugging it in wasn't. Yeah. And I figured for that $100, I could put $100 worth of stuff in it.
Yeah, there you go.
It felt like picking it up was worth the effort, was my opinion on it. What kind of things you like in the freezer? What kind of quick freezer things you like cold?
You're right about one. Kids mini mozzarella dog? Sticks definitely are a good frozen thing.
Corn dogs are good.
The classic frozen pizza, like a little Tombstone frozen pizza. That's the brand I usually get. The Tombstone's solid.
I went with the Costco Detroit style pizza this time for the frozen pizza.
We'll talk more about Detroit this throughout style. The show today. Detroit, what's the must have in the freezer during the winter storm? But also, some people are worried, if their power goes out, they're not going to be able to use, the frozen stuff is a problem. You need to have some stuff that you can just have. That's why people buy the bread, right? But if you lose power, do you have a generator?
I don't.
You struck me as someone that would already have a generator.
I'm not saying I'm anti-generator. Mm-hmm. Give me time, but I don't currently own one, no.
Yeah.
I thought about one of those like $300 like anchor things that you like have to charge full ass day, mm-hmm. but they've got like 1,000 hours of charging in them.
So it keeps your cell phone charged and laptop charged.
And kids' iPads if we're stuck in like no power, all that stuff, yeah.
There you go. We'll talk more about the upcoming storm and everything. 1 o'clock hour today, Fan Club Friday. Dana Wright from KMBZ is going to join us. I'm sure they'll be talking plenty of weather. Maybe we'll get her to help us out getting a meteorologist on the show as well. We should just call up Brian Busby.
Oh, yeah. She's got good inroads to the local TV community.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a latest weather update at 1 o'clock today.
We should have, as part of a trade-off for, I'm going to go do the KC End Zone show over at Fox 4 after the show.
I should have,
as a trade-off, been like, I need to borrow one weatherman. I know that this is their Super Bowl, but I need to borrow one weatherman for 8 minutes on the show, please. Next time, man. Next time. I was thinking about the Coach of the Year stuff, and not to get back, and to avoid the debate that is, I think he should have way better odds. We all agree. He should have way better odds to be NFL's Coach of the Year, but that's also not how the award works, and it's not how the award is going to work this year. But instead, the way I was thinking about Andy Reid is this the single best coaching job he has done for the Chiefs in his career here? Here are some of the ones that I think are in competition, and then we can talk about the things he's accomplished. The year Mahomes got hurt on the quarterback sneak and had to go multiple weeks and manage that injury for the entire season to go on to win the Super Bowl. Then there was the first year of Mahomes in which he went for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in his very first year as a starter in the NFL. Went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots that year but came up short. And then I think you could make an argument for the Alex Smith year that was the very first year Andy Reid was here. They traded for Alex Smith. The team was the number one overall pick the year before, and he made them a playoff team in the very first year after being the number one overall pick in what was the single worst year in this franchise's history. I think that this one rivals all of those when you start looking at all the things he had to overcome.
Well, this year, I mean, it's obvious. We know they had the toughest schedule, I think, in Andy Reid's tenure as the head coach in Kansas City. Every year they're in first place, so you're going to play that first place schedule. This year, the first place schedule actually played out like that. You know, it wasn't, sometimes you have a year where first place schedule, but another team you're expected to play ends up not being as good as you thought. For the most part, everybody lived up to what you thought they were going to be. And if a team didn't, you played them early enough. Like Cincinnati, nobody thought they'd be sitting here at 8 wins. People thought they were a 12 plus win team, but you played them early in the year when people still thought that.
Yeah.
Baltimore obviously was on your schedule.
You're still not a bad team. They're like near the playoffs.
Right. I mean, they faced every single AFC playoff team. And actually, no matter what happens this weekend, they have faced, unless the Dolphins get in, they would have faced every single AFC playoff team, and two of them twice. They also had 3 games in 11 days this year. They had their number one and number two receiver out very early on in the season. We know their number one running back went down. The left tackle situation speaks for itself and how they've had to navigate that as a head coach. The number two corner, Jalen Watson's been out, although we'll get to some good news, it sounds like, that's coming out this morning in just a bit. So all of that put together, I think this is right up there. If it's not the toughest, it's certainly making a strong case, especially if they complete the job, right? Part of this being the most impressive coaching job is still completing the task. And I'm not saying that for it to be your best year, it always has to result in the Super Bowl, but it's hard to surpass those that end up in Super Bowl runs. It puts himself already in that category to comp it with, the 2 Super Bowl years you were referencing as well. I get what you mean about the first year as a head coach coming off of the disaster. I think that one's always going to be overlooked just because that wasn't when this run really started for a lot of people, even though immediately the day Andy Reid walked in, this franchise changed forever.
It did, and for a lot of good reasons. But that first year, I mean, it is one of his most impressive. Like, it's in the top 3 for me if I was ranking them out for best seasons under Andy Reid. And yeah, I'm trying not to just be like, well, the 3 years he won the Super Bowl, that's it. Because I think some coaching jobs are easier than others. Like that that first Super Bowl, you got to get through it. That's a breakthrough. The second one kind of felt easy. They were the best team the entire year. They didn't suffer some like mass amount of injuries. They got to just go about the motions. Win a bunch of games, win the Super Bowl, wash their hands of it. Didn't feel hard, right? This just felt hard. They've had to deal with left and right tackle. They've had to deal with injuries. We can talk about, like you mentioned, Jalen Watson, one of many they have had to overcome. Their defense wasn't as stout. It's the worst year of Patrick Mahomes' career. Now, and maybe that's an argument against, that you can't have had your best coaching year when Patrick Mahomes is having his worst statistical year as a pro under your watch. But in a lot of ways, doing that simultaneously while winning at least 15 games, doesn't that make it even more impressive of a coaching job? Patrick Mahomes had his worst statistical year and you still won 15 games. It didn't stop you from the inevitable prize, which is winning football games. Toughest division in or second toughest division in football. Let me
NFC North ran away with that one, I think.
Yeah, that one's that race has been run. The NFC North is the toughest division in football, but the toughest division in the AFC, three playoff teams in it. Like, right? I mean, one laughing stock, but three playoff teams to go in there. Maybe someone's going to make the argument for the North because they have two playoff teams.
They could still end up with three, depending on what happens.
They're going to end
up
with two, and the Steelers are not a good team. Like, you know, the Chargers and the Broncos are just as good as the Steelers. And so when you start comparing, I think the West is better. Like, a lot of things Andy Reid had to do this year in order to make sure that this team kept winning at this rate. And I would argue, he had to do it under the pressure of, you are a team who's the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion playing a first-place schedule, and everybody has you marked on their schedule.
But that's why they're prepared for it. I mean, they've done this thing before. It's why we push back anytime there's some national narratives about, like, yeah, I mean, how are they going to handle having too much time off, or how are they going to handle this stretch of games, or they don't look right, or they have too many things to overcome. There's not a coach and an organization in all of sports that is better prepared to handle whatever is thrown at them than this group, because they've done it and they've overcome certain challenges time and time again. Like, there's frankly nothing new that can be thrown their way at this point, especially after this year. There's nothing that they haven't seen, no challenge they haven't dealt with. And whether you think this is the top of that list in terms of the challenges or not, it certainly is up there. And here they are, potentially going to win 16 games if they can beat the Broncos. If not, they're going to have a 15-win season, and we already know the number one seed's been taken care of, and they've got the best odds to win the Super Bowl once again. And that wasn't the case during the entire season.
No, it was pretty much not the case for, what, 90% of the season,
That was the Lions and then the Bills briefly, but mainly the Lions.
But now the Lions, you can't even be sure that they're going to get... Yeah, they're either only going to play two games, both at home, or all three road games in order to try to advance to the Super Bowl. I mean, the arguments against, I think, are Mahomes didn't have a great season, and the defense is still elite level. When Andy Reid had to do the 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown season, he was having to do that with the league's worst defense.
Yeah.
And so he needed, but like that's what makes Andy Reid great probably, is if he needs 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards out of Mahomes, he'll get it. And he'll win a bunch of games, and they'll get a bye and all the other stuff. And if he needs Mahomes to have, like, what did he have, like 27 touchdowns? What did he finish with this year? 26 touchdowns? I don't even know.
I'm not sure what the final number was.
I don't even count the... God, we're so spoiled. Like, I bet Drew knows Joe Burrow stats. I bet he knows how many passing touchdowns and yards he has.
Well, that's
right
all
now.
They got. They're an A-win team.
26 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Remember when his interceptions were a problem? Mahomes has one game in his last, like, eight in which he's thrown an interception. He's going to finish at 11. He's going to finish below league average, probably, in interceptions this year, as a result of the way that this went down. But, like, to get his worst year and then still finish with 15 wins, that's crazy.
913-586-7965. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. The comment we were talking about, the division, someone from the 816 said, how is the NFC North better than the West? Both have three or four teams in the playoffs. Defenses are better in the West. I'll just say that the Lions are a 14-win team. The Vikings are a 14-win team. One of those teams in that division is going to be a number one seed. The Packers are going to, depending on what happens this weekend, finish with 12 or 13 wins on the season. That's why. I mean, we're talking like the Chargers and Broncos. The Broncos are trying to get to win number 10, right? The Chargers are most likely finishing with 10 wins, maybe get to 11. I don't know if there's, like, I don't even know how to debate it with you. I think it's pretty obvious. The NFC North is absolutely better than the AFC West. Doesn't like matter in the grand scheme of things, but like I don't know how you could how there's an argument that the NFC North is not better. I mean, again, Sunday night football, it's the first time in NFL history that two teams are playing with this many wins in the regular season, meaning it had to have happened in a week eight, you know, in this time, a week 18, and it wasn't a, it's not a 10 and, you know, 10 win team versus an 11 win team. It's two teams that are going for the number one seed the final week of the season head to head. We've never seen this many wins head to head before. And that's how Sunday Night Football has been building it all week. So that's what it is, man. Like, I don't think it's close.
No, it's a runaway. Like, it's a great division, and that's fine. The Chiefs can be in the second best division in football, and it still doesn't take away from Andy Reid's accomplishments. I have been blown away by this performance. It only re-highlights for me why he is the best coach in the NFL and has maintained that. You know, this works. We see this all the time in every sport where the aging coach doesn't adapt, doesn't adjust, can't still find ways to win. And it's been the opposite for Andy Reid. He's making winning look easier sometimes. Like last year, too, because here's the problem. Last year is a really strong argument for best coaching job of Andy Reid's career, because I know he ended up with 11 wins and then had to go road for a second straight Super Bowl title. Pretty hard to argue with when I get the postseason part. If I made this just a regular season award, this would be 2 for me. If this were just what he did in a regular season coaching job, it would be the
second.
And that's, by the way, what
the actual Coach of the Year award is.
Yes.
Is regular season. Otherwise, Belichick and Andy would have probably 4 or 5 of these things at this point in time.
Yeah. If they let you include the postseason.
If they included the MVP, Mahomes would also have an additional MVP by now. He would still have a chance to win this year. It's like that. There's a reason why they cut it off. I have no problem with that. Why they cut it off in the regular season. We mentioned Jalen Watson, the news in the last hour or so before we hopped on the air. I know, I'm sure you talked about it a little bit during the roundtable with Bob and Dusty on Fesco and Dusty in the morning, but Jalen Watson's practice window has been opened up. We all know that means what, 21 days or so is the timeline potentially where he could return. It's a great sign that we're even discussing this being a possibility. I don't know where you're at. I still think if we're being realistic, AFC title game's kind of like the target for me. Maybe the playoff game in the divisional round, the first playoff game.
He's practicing today.
It's a good sign. Like, how does his body react to practicing? I would say this tells you there's a chance for the divisional round, which is more than anybody could have ever expected. AFC title game, I think, is the safe target. But yeah, could he give you some snaps in the divisional round? Doesn't hurt. We all know what he was. We've gotten to what, week 14 or so, week 13, when this defense has really turned it on. They've been able to make adjustments there, but in the secondary. But Jalen Watson, for a month and a half, we were saying how underappreciated he was and how much different the secondary was. And they couldn't find, was it Joshua Williams? Was it Nazi Johnson? Yeah. Like, they couldn't find an answer. To their credit, they've adjusted and they've improved there. But Jalen Watson was playing at an extremely high level. If they got him back, whether it's divisional round, AFC title game, a massive boost to a defense that's already starting to play a lot better. They're number 2 scoring defense in football all of a sudden.
So this is great news for the Chiefs, because Jalen Watson was absolutely their second best corner. This is not like a debate or up for argument, or it's not even like left tackle. We're like, maybe DJ Humphries could still improve the whole thing. Jalen Watson back makes them better. And now I'm even more convinced he's coming back now, because like 48 hours ago, Andy Reid was like, man, I don't know on Jalen Watson. I can't even look in the stars and see he's practicing today. That means Andy was lying to me. Like, I got it. It's cool. A couple days ago when Andy was like, total long shot on Jalen Watson. Who knows? That meant that Jalen Watson was coming back and he didn't want to tip his hand. Now, do I think he'll be back by the divisional game? No.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just because
by the AFC title game, he will be back, and that's a guarantee, which means he'll be back for the Super Bowl. And people are forgetting about the fact all he's got to do is practice and not play for 2 weeks. Then play a game, play a week after if he got back for the divisional round, and then get 2 weeks again before he has to play. The amount of time off the Chiefs have between now and what would potentially be a Super Bowl game for them creates so many extra days off. Protecting an injury like that of Jalen Watson's is way easier than under normal circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, to me, though, whether they had a bye or not doesn't factor into Jalen Watson. Like, if they had a wild card game, yeah, he probably wouldn't play for sure.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, the practice window's open. You're talking about 21 days to make a decision. Whether the Chiefs were playing wild card weekend or obviously now we know playing divisional round weekend doesn't impact whether Jalen Watson can return by January 20th or whatever. Like, it's the same thing. Like, he's he wouldn't he would not be he's not playing this weekend, and he wouldn't be playing wild card weekend anyway. So I don't think the bye week really plays a role. It's just whether or not he can practice and bounce back from practice. I think we have to pump the brakes a little bit on like the sure thing that he's coming back.
Can he get through a practice?
The practice window's opening up is great. They open up. They have a practice window for a reason, to give them some time, whether or not you have a bye week or not, and to see ultimately, yeah, how does his body hold up during practices? It's a great sign though. They could have the 1-2 punch at corner potentially available for them in the postseason.
I think what's kind of exciting about it is this has been kind of an inverse year where the year they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay, it was just like they were losing one player at a time slowly as the season ended. And then just like one guy short, just making the job a little bit harder throughout the season. That's typically how injuries go. And the opposite for the Chiefs, they were all hurt at the beginning of the season. And over the last 8 weeks, they just keep getting one player back at a time. Here comes Pacheco. Here comes Amenihue. Here comes Hollywood Brown. Oh, Jalen Watson might come back. They are getting healthier and healthier as the season goes on, making them a far different and more dangerous team than they were at any other particular point. You're right. At no point can I just guarantee you Jalen Watson is going to come back for this team. But the fact that he's practicing on January 3rd, when their next available playoff game they would play is what, the 18th, 17th? When do they play? The Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's the weekend of the
18th. 2 weeks from now, right? So, I mean, we're talking about 2 full weeks. Even if he had to be like, let's dial it back a little bit and then get him in there. We all saw the stats gold. And look, I think Amenihue helped this. We all saw like those first four games when there was no Jalen Watson, but Amenihue hadn't come back, which was what the defense was allowing in points per game before the Jalen Watson injury and what they were allowing after the Jalen Watson injury. Amenihue helped stabilize those numbers once he came back. So now they could be the even better version of themselves because they've stabilized. And what, you're telling me now they're going to have a qualified number two corner? Woo! I mean, now we're talking about best defense in the, you know, in the playoffs kind of stuff.
And just also adding more depth in general, because there will be some injury that happens. And if this team goes on the run, we think they can go on playing a divisional round game, playing an AFC title game, hopefully get into a Super Bowl again. Three games, you're not making it through three games without having anybody get hurt. So you need to have some depth, whether that's Steven Nelson getting activated from the practice squad this weekend. Let's see what he can do perhaps against Denver. So there's some depth to have available maybe come playoff time if you need it. Jalen Watson being back. All of that is good. You got to have some depth to make it through a deep playoff run as well. And things are, I mean, you couldn't ask for better timing on everything. This was why the bye was so crucial, to get the existing players that have already been playing some time off. But everybody that's potentially could come back is potentially coming back, right? Like the only guy that really couldn't come back at all this year was Rashee Rice. Other than that, everybody that's had an injury is expected to return, is on track to do so. They've either already returned, or now we know Jalen Watson at least is on track to return. You could not have had a better way it's worked out.
Yeah. And again, it's, they didn't need him in week 13 or 14 or 15. They're winning all those games. They could need him in a postseason. You know when they could specifically need him? The Super Bowl. You know when I want fully healthy Jalen Watson back? Is for what we talked about yesterday when we were evaluating the weapons in the AFC versus the NFC. When you start looking at the NFC teams, like half of them have two elite-level weapons at wide receiver or incredibly dangerous ones. It's like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. It's Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. It's Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Maybe you don't need it to hold down Keon Coleman in the AFC title game, but I can almost guarantee you, based on the weapons that exist in the NFC side, if there's a time when you're going to feel having an extra corner and that depth, it could be in a potential Super Bowl game where the NFC side is loaded at wide receiver. I mean, loaded. And so, yeah, maybe the slow return is fine. Getting him back at all seems crazy. I like that when he did that, Andy was like asked about it, and he slow walked it, and then he was like, and he had to confirm no chance for Rashee Rice. I'm like, none of us thought Rashee Rice was coming back.
He's the only player that's been known as like out. Jalen Watson, they never actually said he was out for the season. That was the speculation. And if you follow anything on social media, Instagram, in the last 24 hours, I think Jalen Watson posted some workout video or whatever, and that's what got the conversation also starting. And then Jordan Schultz reported this morning about the designated return from IR. That'll become official later on this afternoon, is my guess.
I'll say one thing we do know about Jalen Watson is he is a tough dude. Played the entire last year with like a torn shoulder. So if there's a guy who's going to play through a little pain, it sort of seems like Jalen Watson probably falls in that camp, right? Like that is one thing we didn't establish here, but like he's kind of a tough guy. Like, you know, some people can't play through an ankle sprain. That's not the case for Jalen Watson. He played through that torn labrum, which he had to have off-season surgery for. Like, a half of a season last year was crazy. Are you prepared? Did you get all the stuff you needed from the grocery store?
I have not gotten anything yet. The only thing I did today, I made sure, I was like, okay, get the ice scraper, make sure I got the gloves, where everything, you know, that kind of stuff ready to rock and roll. You know, that's what I took care of. I don't live in an apartment complex, shovels. Yeah, like, I don't live in a house, so I don't need to go buy like ice melt and make sure I don't need that. I told you, like, I'll have to go over to my parents and shovel their driveway, but I was excited because last year I was like, hey, if I'm going to be doing this like for many, many years to come,
if this is for the rest of my life, we got to talk about this.
Can we get a snowblower here? So I convinced them to do that. So I'm somewhat excited to use that for the first time when I end up having to go over there Sunday or Monday, whatever. I'll do a quick little run to the grocery store after work today. It's just me. Like, I don't need to get that much stuff.
But normally you do not have available in your house food wise breakfast, lunch, and dinner for two consecutive days.
Because yes.
So you got to think about breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and some snacks.
That's right.
For two consecutive days. That's a lot for you. Yeah. You're going to go on Friday night before a snowstorm. Dude, the grocery store is going to be a mess.
Yeah, but here's the benefit.
Drew, are you prepared?
I know people are getting off of work early today, but we're all, by 2:30, Cody, I'm out of the building. That's the benefit. We have. We're off the air at 2. By 2:30, probably earlier, let's be real, I'm out of the building.
On a Friday?
Yeah, let's be real. But yeah, I got one other thing to do after the work. But call it 2:15 today. And I'll be at the store at 2:15. That's easy. It'll be busy, but not like insane. You know where it's going to be insane? 5:30 tonight, 6:15, 6:30 tonight when people are done with work because the storm's not coming until tomorrow. You and the wife, Drew, get anything?
Yep, we went to the store last night because we were talking about the storm, as everybody seems to be.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? Let's just go now and just get it over with before...
Smart?
Before it gets crazy.
Kansas City, and I'm sure this is in other places, every time we really hype up a storm...
This time it seems like it's going to happen.
Versus like the other ones sneak up on us, where it's like, what are we going to get, like an inch of snow? And all of a sudden there's like 7 inches.
The one that happened in November or whatever was more snow than I thought we ever would have predicted.
Are you used to snow, Drew? You lived in Florida for years.
He's from Indianapolis.
I'm from Indianapolis, so yes, I'm used to...
Okay. I didn't know if we could trust you to get here on Monday. You know?
The ice as well, used to ice, so I think I'll be okay. I just have to obviously be careful, as does everybody else.
It does seem like that, you know... I know at times they can be off on the forecasting, but it seems like this time, like, it's legit going to be one of the worst storms we've had in a couple of years. You know, not like...
They're making it seem like that's at least plausible.
Yeah. You know, maybe the worst one we've had in 5 to 10 years.
You're going to get the ice cold, right? And then Cody's going to get the
snow. I live on the south side of town. You guys know that. It sounds like there's going to be more ice south of 70. And Cody's, you guys are north. Drew's right on 70, so who knows what you're getting, man. You might get at the worst of everything. I don't know. Like, you're right on 70, literally. So, I don't know. Yeah, the ice is the problem. The snow, look, even though I have a small car, I've navigated the snow before. I've lived in Boise, Idaho. I've lived in Kansas City much of my life.
Did you do chains in Boise?
No, I've never done the chain thing on the car. Yeah, I've never done that. But it's the ice where you get screwed. So, we'll see. Someone says, I'm a snowplow driver for Liberty. Please pray for me. Yeah, man, I don't envy you. Yeah, best of luck and appreciate all your guys. The individuals that have to do the snowplow and work like that throughout the storm, that's brutal. Yeah.
Follow-up question from the 816 from the snowplow guy. I once tried to offer a snowplow guy who was working in the apartments not far from me a bribe to plow. Would you have taken the bribe? Are other people willing to take the bribe, or I just get like a guy, you know, I just found like the one who won't.
So you think
I tried to offer like $50 just to run the thing up my not super long driveway one time.
So you think this gentleman or others that are working their ass off during the storm,
they don't want an extra $50, $100
for MoDOT and KDOT plowing roads.
If they work for the city, they definitely can't take my bribe.
And you're thinking they're going to specifically stop at your house, your cul-de-sac. You don't even live in a cul-de-sac, your street.
I do live in a cul-de-sac. I just live at the very bottom of one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I could, if there is ice, Cody, I couldn't imagine being at the top having to drive down the cul-de-sac. That would be
nerve-wracking. I do not envy those at the top of our, and it is a hill, like upper hill. And as you know, we just like sled out our front door at our house pretty much. Like, the kids want to go sledding, problem solved. We live on this tall hill. I just tell them to avoid the mailbox.
Someone says, let's be real, I'm out of my I'm taking the whole afternoon off, someone says. Okay. All right.
Someone says, as a public worker, I suggest you don't get out if you don't have to.
Someone said the grocery store is already packed.
Well, yeah. It's through the last couple days, I think.
I just like...
This top text is great. Someone says, HVAC guy here. Everyone that thinks their furnace made a weird noise is calling us yesterday and today.
Oh, yeah.
Any weird noise?
Like, they're trying to get ahead of it.
Good business. Good business for you guys out there. Anyway,
I guess, but man, dude, I feel bad.
We'll talk more about this.
They're going to have to work over the next 3 days.
Yeah, let us know what your guys' plans are the next couple of days and how you're preparing. Up next, though, let's talk about the importance of a couple pass catchers for the Chiefs, not only in the playoffs, but long term, plus a little preview of Sunday Night Football. That's
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Coming up next on Cody Gold. Just getting started here on a Friday. Hope everyone's having a good day, getting set for the weekend. Obviously, the storm on the way. You guys can continue to interact with us on the text line, 913-586-7965. Here in about 30 minutes, Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI, going to join us. We'll get his perspective on how Andy's going to handle Sunday's game in Denver, plus the news, as we just got done talking about, the Jalen Watson. It's now been confirmed by Nate Taylor as well. That Jalen Watson will be designated to return. That practice window opening up, he's expected to practice today. All great news when it comes to his chances of playing in the postseason. Maybe divisional round, we'll see. If not, maybe an AFC title game. We'll get to that with Josh Briscoe in just a bit. We'll probably also talk to him about really the pass catchers in this offense. Now, I think we've all agreed that Xavier Worthy is right now their number one kind of target in this offense at this point, just based off target share.
Over the last couple of weeks, yeah.
But does that change in the playoffs? Like, if I were to ask you the order of importance from the pass catchers and who's going to get the most target share, does Kelce get all the way back to the front automatically because it's playoff time? And we know last year in the playoffs, Kelce looked like a Hall of Fame tight end again, or is Worthy number one? I think you still have to say, if you're ranking the importance of pass catchers, how can I not still say Travis Kelce is the most important pass catcher for this team in the postseason
versus
after what we've seen?
A rookie wide receiver? Yeah, I actually think I'd be more likely to say Hollywood before I would say Xavier Worthy. Now, if I put Kelce first, I think Worthy is second. But if I were putting somebody not first that wasn't Kelce, I would entertain Hollywood Brown. The other part that I can't factor, and this is why it's such an interesting conversation, is DeAndre Hopkins is the ultimate veteran. And somehow, if you made me give my list right now, I'd put Hopkins fourth. It would be Kelce one, Xavier Worthy two, just based on recent production alone, Hollywood three, who would have been two, right, had he played the entire season, and DeAndre Hopkins four. Now, his four catches will be important.
Yeah.
But if you just made me guess, let's say they go all the way to the Super Bowl and they play three playoff games, and we said, at the end of this, where did the targets rank? I still think Kelce will be number one, and I think Hopkins will be the lowest.
Does that make it the most important, though?
See, that's what I was.
It's interesting. Okay,
and that's the other part. As I was going to say, if we're just talking about who's going to have the most targets, that's a different conversation than whose targets are the most important, right? And I think Kelce is the answer to both. By the way, like whether it's actual number of targets or who's most important to target, just because of what he presents defenses with, the challenge. Kelce's one. I would go Worthy two, and Hopkins three, and then Hollywood Brown lastly. I was thrilled to see what Hollywood Brown did in his first game in a Chiefs uniform in the regular season. Like, way more than any of us could have expected. You can start to see why they were excited about him in this offense. We how many times mentioned that the difference for him was it all offseason. He still got the work with Patrick Mahomes. He still got the training camp work with Mahomes. Mahomes mentioned how he was a much better route runner than he even realized. All of that clearly, I think, was true based off of even one game. But I don't know how I can say, like, just because of one game, Hollywood Brown is just, like, more important than DeAndre Hopkins. I'll push back on that because you're correct that actual catches, who's more likely to have 90 yards in five catches? And now, at this point, you'd say Hollywood Brown. But yep, who could have four catches for 45 yards? But man,
all for first downs.
It's for the fourth quarter. The Chiefs are up by seven. They need a first down to basically seal the game. Who do I trust other than Kelce? DeAndre Hopkins is the next guy I would actually want the football to go to, just in terms of sure hands.
This speaks to their incredible depth, because someone's like, hey, don't forget about Noah Gray. I'm very aware of Noah Gray. Yep. He is the fifth, at best, receiving option on this team right now. Like, because does McColl usurp him when he comes back? Or where does Justin Watson, who finally caught a long pass on that Christmas Day game? Drew was burying Justin Watson there for, I finally caught a long pass. Weren't you happy for him? Were you happy for Justin Watson?
No, it was... good for Justin Watson. I did not say anything because I didn't feel like I needed to say anything in that moment in time.
It's fine.
Good for him.
I feel the same way you did about Justin
Watson.
He was
wide the hell open. He better have caught it.
His involvement in the offense always felt like it was a little too high. But yes, when I go through it, and you're right, if I say importance versus total target share, it's a little bit different. Because right now, Hopkins has not been what he was in his previous career's name, which is he was a target monster, right? Like, I mean, he was the guy who did nothing but get targets for this team. But Kelsey's been that at one point in his career. I would say Hollywood maybe that one year when he had 1,000 yards in Baltimore. Maybe he was, you know, like a 100-target guy. So everybody at some point has done that. But if it's postseason time, it's Travis Kelsey. I'm sorry, it just is.
Yeah.
I know he's been a 4-catch for 35 or 40-yard guy for the last month. It's Travis Kelsey.
Yeah, he does find a different gear. I mean, last year was the prime example. There was also probably the health aspect. He's healthy right now. Last year, we know he sat out the last game of the year, even though he could have had another 1,000-yard season. He wisely did that, and we saw him look like the Hall of Fame tight end that he is in the postseason. I think we'll see something similar. I think we'll see a fresh Travis Kelsey. Defenses are still going to give him plenty of attention. They're not suddenly going to think that he's not a factor. But the beautiful thing with that is now they have the guys we're mentioning. Worthy is clearly a factor and a weapon. Hollywood Brown is working himself into this offense as well. And sure, you can throw in Noah Gray to the picture. He's been terrific at times for them. That's why this offense is...
He's just further down the list because of how many options they have.
That's why this offense is in better shape than it has ever been at any point in this 2024, now 2025 season. Because they got everybody available. Other than Rashee Rice, everybody's available. I don't include Mecole Hardman. Maybe he will be available anyway. But like I'm talking about
a healthy Rashee for Hopkins, this would be an unstoppable.
Yeah, like I'm talking about the guys that we all expected to come back. This is as healthy as they could possibly really be heading into a postseason game.
Someone says to put Hollywood over Xavier is just nonsense.
I'm kind of
before
with that,
the
though.
Season, I would have thought it was nuts. But like now, Xavier Worthy over his last 7 games is on a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown pace. So since, like, over
17
games.
No, that's what they're saying. You said you would put Hollywood over Xavier. That's what they're saying.
I just said if it, yeah, I'm just saying if it wasn't Kelsey, I feel like they would force-feed Hollywood, I guess. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
That's all. Again, in my official rankings, the order of importance is Kelsey, Worthy, Hollywood, and Hopkins. But the fact that Hopkins is fourth on the list, and if I include Noah Gray, fifth on that list, like, it tells you a lot about where they are offensively. And they don't even have to, like, you know, I think it's also why the running back pass game started to work so well late, don't you? Like, I don't think it's an accident. Finally, they could push the ball down the field, and then Samaje Perine was able to get 15 yards whenever the hell he felt like it in the passing game. I just think that now this is a top 5 to 7 offense, in my opinion, in the league right now. I know none of the numbers over the course of the season are going to bear out that way. But if you made me re-rank the offenses based on what I think they are this moment, this is one of the 5 to 7 best offenses in the league.
Back-to-back playoff teams they faced, Houston and Pittsburgh, they scored 29 and 27. And we all know that 29 could have easily been over 30 or whatever. They basically slid down to prevent a score. I know the 30-plus point stat or over 31 point stat is one that people nationally will bring up, and like the company they're in of not scoring over 31. They could have easily scored over 31. They just slid down to run the clock out wisely instead. The last two games is why everybody feels differently about this offense and about this football team. They're getting healthy. They're doing it against playoff teams. They made it through the stretch. All of it's coming together.
Tooney's playing good left tackle.
They're peaking at the right time, and I don't think they quite peaked yet. That's hopefully happening in the AFC title game, frankly, and ultimately the Super Bowl. But that's the track they're headed on. I know people were skeptical for many, 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 many weeks that they could get there. And it's amazing. We do the same exercise the last 2 or 3 years. Like, what they are in week 6 doesn't matter whatsoever. Nope. And why panic in week 6? And like, we've seen multiple years of evidence now that when it matters most, things come together. And that's a credit to Andy Reid and the coaching staff more than anything else.
I wouldn't exactly sure. They're 11th currently in points per game on offense, the Chiefs. They're 2nd in points per game on defense. If you remember my earlier standard of being top 10 in both, the difference is the Chiefs get leeway. I said that from the beginning. Drew was here. From the very beginning, I said, well, they have Mahomes and Andy Reid. So everyone else has to fall in those parameters. They get a little wiggle room there. That's
well,
all.
And if you look at what they did the past 2 weeks, because Hollywood, like what you had said, Gold leading all the way up with Charles Omenihu coming back. Like, we've been waiting for Hollywood Brown to come back, like you guys said, to let's see what they look like when Hollywood is there. I know they won't get Rashee, but let's see how much better they look on offense. They've scored their 27 and 29 since Hollywood is back, because he came in right before the Texans game, if I remember correctly, and he's been good. So him being that X factor into the offense where it's another weapon you have to account for and not just somebody else who's a body on the field that's just running around makes them a lot tougher. I wonder what they would rank in the last 2 weeks, Cody, where they probably are top 10, I would assume.
Yeah, how many other teams are averaging 28 points a game in the last 2 weeks?
I would assume they're top 10.
Yeah, probably. I mean, absolutely. I would probably guess. There's always some. Someone's probably averaging like 40, like someone has that back-to-back New Orleans Saints run or something.
I mean, the Ravens scored 42 against the Ravens.
And the Bills scored
Or the Ravens, 40, sorry. Yeah, the Ravens scored 42 against the Texans, sorry.
And the Bills scored 40 or whatever against the Jets. So, I mean, those teams are probably averaging 28 points a game, I would venture a guess.
A team that has had no problem scoring throughout this season is the Detroit Lions. Let's talk about Sunday Night Football, because that is the other part where the Chiefs will play earlier.
It's the only great game this weekend.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, I will say...
Some good ones.
Cincy and Pittsburgh's really intriguing for the AFC North potentially there, and obviously playoff implications. And it's one of the tighter spreads of the entire weekend, too. Cincy's two-point favorite against the Steelers. But Sunday Night Football, I mean, we've never had a game for the last game of the year in week 18 where two teams have this many wins and the winner gets the number one seed in a bye and the loser falls all the way to the 5 seed and has to go on the road the entire playoffs, and there's a chance and it could be the Lions, who for 95% of the year everybody said was the best football team in the league, and they might have to actually go on the road. You have Dan Campbell last week, they get the win and they got out of the game healthy, fortunately, but short week, and they went all for it on Monday Night Football against the Niners. Does that have a carryover effect to this game on Sunday night? You know, there's so many aspects that can change how people, I think, will view how Dan Campbell handled things. You've got the tough guy attitude. It's like, I don't, you know, he's the tough guy. He played good for him. It wasn't about just getting healthy out of the game. It requires him to perform well in this game on Sunday night, too, because part of the concern with going full go on Monday Night Football was that, hey, you got a short week, and are your guys going to be fresh for that game? And yeah, if you win this game on Sunday night and you get the bye, then you're right. Then none of it matters, and you're good to go. Props to you. And that mantra and everything works. But if you lose on Sunday night to the Minnesota Vikings, then I think it's more than fair to question how Dan Campbell handled the last week of the season, the last 2 weeks of the season.
He should not have played his starters in that game. I know, had they won the game, that this game, but like it didn't matter. They could have won it, and I guess what, you feel slightly better about yourself? The result of the game had zero impact in your path. None. At all. And so I just can't imagine. It took me up until this week almost to believe in the Vikings. It's the Sam Darnold part, man. It's hard.
But take the name out. QBA, QBB.
I know.
Look at the numbers. Look at the wins. Look at all.
I get it. Because, like, and I get, like, we could do side by sides, and you would think that, you know, Josh Allen ran away in the passing statistics over Mahomes this year. Lamar Jackson, you know that they're like 250 yards off and like a touchdown or two in the passing stats? Like,
it's,
yeah,
Josh Allen's got like rushing numbers.
Yeah, but like he does those all from the 2-yard line. No offense. Like, there is a number in which that number doesn't actually hold as much. He's got like 150 more rushing yards and like 200 more passing yards and an additional passing touchdown. Like, they're not as far apart as you think, as you have in your brain. So I understand that if I look at Sam Darnold's stats, that there isn't the gap that exists statistically that would be there. But it took me up until this week to believe it. I'm saying I do now.
In terms of what, them making the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because
come on, dude. It was really hard to take Sam Darnold seriously as a Super Bowl contending quarterback.
I know.
They're as good as the Lions, especially because of the injuries.
Did you take Jared Goff that way last year?
Yes.
Because I think that Jared Goff, if we're talking about Sam Darnold that way, then Jared Goff had to have been in the same conversation.
Not as much, because Jared Goff had been on a Super Bowl contending team and started for a winning team.
Sam Darnold was viewed as one of the worst quarterbacks in the league for a while. Jared Goff was never viewed as the worst quarterback in football. That was a legit thing people were saying.
He's going to go down as one of the worst draft picks ever for a minute there.
So that, I think that's the difference. Now, Jared Goff is probably still a name people have been hesitant on, to your point, Drew. I just don't know.
Because he was carried to that Super Bowl, essentially.
Right. But nobody viewed Goff, hey, like, oh, Jared Goff's the worst quarterback in football. Sam Darnold was the worst quarterback in football when he was with the Jets. I mean, he legitimately was for a year or two. That was a real thing. One other point of clarity. Someone on the Texans said if the Lions lost last week, they wouldn't have been able to get the division. It would have been a sudden death. The same thing applied. The way the Lions could have lost.
They could have lost it.
The Lions right now have the same amount of wins, you're correct, as the Vikings. But if they would have lost last week,
or won,
it wouldn't have mattered, because the tiebreaker, the game is basically about a tiebreaker, is what it would have been about. The last Monday night's game for the Lions, literally meant nothing for the number one seed.
And they still played Jim. And look, no one got hurt, so they got to avoid it. But your guys, the problem I have is, if you did all that and you played them, and then you still lose this game, then
for what?
You cost your team a week of rest before a deep playoff run, ideally, when you didn't have to. If you win, then you don't look so dumb because you win the thing. You still get the week of rest. I don't know why you played the game anyway, but understandable. It didn't cost you what I think it could cost you by doing it. Can I ask one thing? Because we were talking about the college football playoff yesterday, that this is always like the funny and difference of sports, because college football is different than the NFL, but they're both football. And I saw all the national narrative stuff complaining about the way, you know, Arizona State and the 4 and the 5 seed. And if you just rank them based on the college football playoff ranking, they'd be lower. But like, they won the Big 12 and it feels like that's supposed to mean something. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to just see the teams based on like their record or where we have them, why the hell do we do that in the NFL? Why does a 14 win Detroit Lions team or 14-win Minnesota Vikings team, why do they have to go on the road to a 9-win team? Shouldn't there be a win difference enough? Like, let's just say you're 3 wins better than the division winner. Shouldn't I at least get the game at home? Why the hell am I traveling for 3 straight? I got 5 more wins than you.
So you still are the 5 seed, but you're hosting?
Yeah.
Because you have a better record?
Yes.
I think it's just because we never rank teams in the NFL where it, college, that's all we do.
Winning your division is always been viewed as a significant accomplishment, and that you get home field for winning your division. Otherwise, here's the other downside. As much as I'm willing to give a leeway. But if you say all of a sudden that winning your division doesn't guarantee a home game, think about it on the opposite end. If I'm a wild card team, use the Green Bay Packers, I guess, would be the best example of this year.
Probably.
We know they can't win the division, but they're clearly a wild card, and they're going to finish maybe with 12 or 13 wins. And we know the Bucks are potentially going to win their division with 10 wins, if I'm not mistaken, in the NFC South. So if you were the Packers, you would also have nothing to play for the final 2 weeks of the season, because you had already known you couldn't win the division, and you know that you're still good enough to outdo the NFC South champion. So then you'd run into even less games meaning something the final 2 weeks of the season. That's my argument for not doing it that way, too.
I guess, but like, we run into that, like, there's a lot of that this year anyway, right? We just talked about the Lions had nothing to play for the second to last week. The Chiefs have nothing to play for this last week. They're like, I mean, other than the bad teams who definitely have nothing to play for, like half of the playoff field doesn't have anything to play for, is for other than do we care to play this team or that team or adjust this or that, and the rest don't matter. It just seems like, I think we've overvalued the division. The division should mean something. You should get a playoff spot, and I think most of the time, you should get a home playoff game. No, but I think if you are 3 games better than the division winner, I get the home game. Three games?
Like,
that's a lot of leeway, man. That's your 10 wins, and I'm 13. If I'm 3 games better than you, you don't get
it. The NFL schedule rotates around. Like, it's not like college football where, yes, the conference schedule rotates, but you still can pick non-conference opponents. In the NFL, it's technically a very fair scheduling system. It rotates around. If you're a first place team, you play a first place team that was the first place team the following year. If you finish last, you'll play the team that was last in their division the year before. It all works out. Doesn't mean that there aren't teams that exceed expectations. Every year it happens. There's parity in that regard. But I kind of get what you're saying, but it just doesn't work that way. It wouldn't work that way.
Cody, it sounds like what you would do then is you would get rid of the format the way that it is. And Tampa Bay would be
the seven
seed.
I don't want to go that extreme, because what I'm saying is that the division is overvalued, but it should, as I think Gold pointed out, have value.
That's my same argument. If you win.
That's my same argument for Arizona State. I think you can reseed all the teams you want in the college football playoff. If you win the Big 12, you deserve a bye. You won the Big 12. You won the SEC. You won the 8. You won the Big 10. You get your bye. Winning your conference and winning your division should mean something.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say the winner of the Big 12 that year was bad, and for whatever reason they were 9-3, and there were 2 undefeated SEC teams. In that case, I'd be willing to shake that up too. And if you're 3 games better,
that's a lot,
like,
of
a limit when we're,
that's a lot of caveats. So like, this, let me go to the
it only come up every once in a while.
It's like a year by year basis.
It's only going to come up once every like 7 years. It's going to come up.
We don't need to change the rules for something that happens once every 7 years, man.
I do if it's a 14-win team. I'm like, one of these two teams is getting screwed.
Because if you get into the, we need to rank teams or whatever in the NFL, then I can guarantee you that there are some teams that are ranked that might miss the playoffs that are actually better than some that make the playoffs in some cases.
Winning and losing still matters, you know? Like, I do
correct,
still think
correct.
That. There's value in that.
I mean, look, if this was college football, based on how all the media talks about Cincinnati being the best 8-8 football team in NFL history, the committee would give them a damn bye and say they deserve it.
That's right.
My goodness.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want to ever lose sight of the fact that, but like that's also the thing about the division is wins and losses don't matter in the division. You can be sub 500, still get your ass in the playoffs for winning your division. So we ignore wins and losses when it comes to division. We just erase it. It has almost no power. You still get a home playoff.
I mean, how many of the division winners are below 500 in their division? I doubt. I mean, I haven't looked, but I'm either none or like one. I mean, if you're going to win, you can't probably have a losing record against your division and win the division that year.
Yeah.
The math just wouldn't probably work out for you.
You can have a losing record overall.
You're playing six games against your division.
I mean, if
you were 2-4 in your division, my guess is, without looking, my guess is you didn't win your division.
No, probably not.
All right, coming up in just a bit, we'll talk with Joshua Briscoe as well. We're keeping an eye on the text line, though. Someone also mentioning, you know, the incentives and how that impacts these games as well. That is the most, if you're just looking games that don't have playoff implications, that's the other interesting thing to watch in some of these games. Like Geno Smith needs, 185 yards or something to get an extra
half mil.
Like, some of that stuff, I mean, it's huge for those guys. I mean, last year we all saw Chris Jones.
Half mil.
Yeah, you're just, Cody, you got to do one more show this week. Or this year, somehow you got to make up an extra 4 hours in order to get an extra 25 grand.
On a Saturday?
Yeah.
Sunday? I'd take over Carrington's whole show. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I'll do whatever four hours you need.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, the Barkley one, we'll talk about maybe Saquon later because that's where a lot of the interesting conversation is. Like,
I'm a little surprised.
Do you play him or not? I totally get why the Eagles have said, hey, we're not playing you, man. We're going for a Super Bowl. I totally get it. It's a really tough situation because we know he's trying to get Dickerson's record, but I think even Barkley, while he wants to play, I think you have to understand you're going for a Super Bowl, and if you get hurt, that team has no chance to win a Super Bowl.
And I guess I'll be honest with you. Unlike baseball, like I would have guessed Dickerson eventually. Like I would have guessed him once we went through the numbers. If you had asked me a month ago who had the single season rushing record, I don't know that I would have gotten it right. Like I would have been like, was that
well,
that?
It was OJ.
Yeah.
It was OJ, and then you had Eric Dickerson was in. I put out some video yesterday because people were giving him a hard time because he was saying how he was the amount of games thing, right? OJ, I think, did it in 14 games. Dickerson did it in, 15 games? Mm-hmm. Barkley, of course, would play an extra, if he's not going to.
Two additional games.
And that's like, hey, you know, how do we view these records? Because, you know,
I think the amount of games should matter. In terms of how we view it.
Like, I can't track. It's too much over time. Because then Miami's undefeated season doesn't matter. Oh, good for you. You didn't 14. You know, like, you just got to count them. You break it, you break it.
I mean, it counts, but if you were to say that Miami team plays the Patriots or whatever, people are probably taking the Patriots team anyways. Like, I know that I don't think many would take that. Like, Ashton Jeanty, if he broke Barry Sanders' record, Barry Sanders did it in 11 games. Ashton Jeanty was trying to do it in 14.
Yeah.
That also is part of that conversation as well with the whole running back thing or the record-breaking stuff.
Yeah, but you also, but like,
I think it matters, but you still give him the record. Like, Saquon would still have the record, but who had the
it's
better
gonna happen
record?
More and I mean, more. This is going to happen more and more,
I've pointed this out with baseball and a million others. If we start putting caveats on it, it is very easy to find a caveat at any level, at any point. The number of games is only one of the determining factors of the things that were different about the game at that time.
Yeah, like Barkley.
Versus the difference in the game now, right? Better athletes. Or a million other things. So just if you break the record, you get the record. Like, I don't need to throw a bunch of, like, nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to happen more and more, too, because one day the NFL is going to go to a 20-week schedule or something, and so we're going to have an extra game or two on top of this, and so there will be records that are even broken this year. Barkley, you know, there's way more to the story, too, with that, because the games are one thing. I think Eric Dickerson had more carries, though, than Barkley or something.
That also is part of the conversation.
So, yeah, 100%. Dickerson played in less games than Barkley, but Barkley's going to have less carries than Dickerson.
So that
matters more, honestly, than games played. How many opportunities did you have to touch the football? Or actually, not opportunities. How many times did you actually touch the football? Dickerson had more carries than Barkley did. Anyway, we don't have to get into that whole debate. But that's definitely another factor this weekend that people are talking about. Up next, though, let's get back to the Chiefs. Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs.si, going to join us. We'll talk to him about Jalen Watson's chances of playing in the postseason and how much Carson Steele are we going to see on Sunday.